Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy. They have now joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Well, pardon me, Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect.
Engineering the show, as always, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, trying to stay awake during the taping of the program, is the eerily quiet and somewhat creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Making sure that we are heard around the world from our bunker here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@laughyourway.com. The rules of the show are very simple. You get to stay totally anonymous. We get to be brutally honest. That's how it works. So if you're concerned about brutal honesty, please do not email us. If you want someone who's going to handle things very, very gently and carefully, send an email to somebody else. Because we
send it to Oprah.
Send it to Oprah. See if she cares. And that's how this works. My lovely redhead in the hospital, recovering from her chemo thing that her boy, you know, that's not normal.
No,
it's not.
I mean, that was bizarre.
That was beyond normal.
Something wasn't right for her. You know, she's been through other. This is a third round with a cancer, and she had some other real
interferon.
Yeah, really high end. Intense stuff early on that totally cured her of the. This is actually a different kind. She had a totally different cancer. They say it's very odd that you'd ever get more than one kind of cancer, and she did. But she totally beat that other one. But it was kind of almost experimental, real heavy, intense. And you kind of wonder if that maybe didn't really
set off her immune system. You know, just so that it overreacted this time.
Yeah, I don't know.
This could possibly.
Be. Yeah, but life is hard. Have you noticed, Ross, that life is hard?
Life is hard.
Have I noticed that life is hard?
You're still young. I don't know if you really notice life is hard. You probably notice life sucks at times, but sometimes it's just really,
really
hard.
Yeah, I know life's hard.
Diane, have you ever noticed that life is hard?
We do the show with you every week. This is not just sucks. Life is hard.
You know, the Bible doesn't say that your life will be easy.
No.
If anything, Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation.
Sure enough.
But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? La la la. Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera.
What's scary is I haven't heard that song in years and years, but
and you know
I knew
the words
perfectly.
Yep.
Wow.
And fell in love. I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day?
No.
Here's what my sweetheart said.
What? You don't have rainbows day after day? Sounds like most Christians I know, they get married. It'll be all rainbows.
The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
My mother used to sing this to us.
What will be, will be.
When we were little boys, she'd sit us on her lap and she'd sing.
Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly.
No, you won't, you lazy bums, because you never work. That's what she said to us.
Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see.
It's amazing how many people know this song. You can get in front of a whole congregation, just start singing the chorus, and everybody joins in.
You know what else would be sad, though? Is if they start raising their hands in worship at the same time.
Yeah. Not exactly a faith statement. Things will be what they will be. What will be, you will have challenges and trials and tribulations in life. The good news is we have a God who can help us through any circumstance, if we'll just not freak, if we'll just not panic. I would love to tell you there is no suffering, but that's not true. And the Bible talks about suffering. I rather would preach about suffering than actually experience it, though, because I don't like suffering. I am a girly man.
That's the thing about real Christianity. It's a lot easier to talk about.
Have you noticed that?
It's a lot easier to have the whole logical explanation of than
instead
to actually live
out.
When you actually are called to live it out, it's really a lot more challenging.
Yeah.
A lot more difficult than what you would imagine.
So I don't know. You know, and sometimes you want, okay, well, what's going on? I think that, sometimes in our case, a lot of people think, I know even in our church, well, the reason that our faith is strong is because everything goes well for us.
Yes.
And everything goes good. And I'm sure there's people who think, well, yeah, Pastor Mark, your life is
easy for you.
Easy for you to be happy in your marriage because everything goes well and you guys never, and I think sometimes the Lord lets my life suck just to help some of you. Good grief, people.
I've had lots of people say, oh, you don't know, Diane. You don't know what it's like. You have this great life. You have this great family. You have...
Yeah, this great life. Yeah.
They did not...
Your life has never been full of challenges.
They did not know me before, nor do they really know me now. Just because I'm happy, just because I'm not walking around looking like you, the mopey dopey, don't misunderstand.
Don't be a mopey dopey.
That I have no challenges.
We all have challenges. Life is hard. Life is difficult. But the glory of this is that the gospel still works. God is still real.
Yes.
And, I don't know. In all honesty, I don't. We aren't wired. We just don't go around thinking why. It's just never been a question. Mm-mm. If anything, I think it would just be so insulting. I mean, there are people who have suffered brutal, painful deaths, who sacrificed their lives for Christ. Who've gone through, just because I'm being inconvenienced for me to go, God, why is this happening to me? I just never think in those terms. I honestly don't. It doesn't make me holier or better than anybody else. I've never understood. I don't think people who ask that question, why is this happening to me? Why is it? I don't think they get it. I don't think they get life. Life is, compared to what others have suffered and sacrificed and, all I got to do, something that helps me when I go through a time like this is because I love war movies. Play the first 20 minutes of
Saving Private Ryan
or Civil War movies when these guys marched into hell.
Glory. We watched Glory this last weekend.
That's just, it's stunning, isn't it?
Fabulous.
These men would have the balls to do what they did. I mean, I'd rather do Saving Private Ryan. At least you can go hide behind something and have some kind of a chance.
They were
these
marching in formation.
Guys marched in tight formation. Who was the idiot who thought of this tactic? Let's stay as tight as we can so there's no way in the world they can miss.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Let's guarantee somebody's going to die. And these guys, they would watch 10,000 men in front of them get blown. Mm-hmm. You know what a cannonball does to a line of men that's going a gazillion miles an hour and the body parts and everything goes splattering through the sky and the screams and the horror and terror. And now it's your turn.
Yes.
Because
and
the
you
line
up
of you,
and you keep a tight formation and you march in the bowels of hell. I watch stuff like that and think, what have I got to whine about? Mm-hmm.
Didn't you see the recent news where that 23-year-old young man went back to Texas after returning from the war scene with, he's a triple amputee from an IED, got a hero's welcome home, driving on the streets, people just praising him, but he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
Triple amputee.
So, you know, we're not just accepting it. Don't misunderstand. We're trusting God for a miracle and stuff like that. I'm just saying, you know, we don't get into this God, why me thing. I mean, how can you do that when other people have suffered so horribly in life? Doesn't mean you like it. I don't like it. Doesn't mean you don't cry. I cry. Doesn't mean you don't freak out. You know, but honestly, you think that you're privileged somehow that other people can suffer great loss, but you can never somehow, there's something special about you? I mean, come on. In this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So there you have it.
Speaking of, I'm going to skip this just for a second here, because when you're talking, it reminded me of an email that we got from a man who, basically he called you a dork. Quite literally, he called you a dork. Because you are not believing the whole counsel of God when it comes to this area. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about the Job thing, and he took great exception and thought that you were...
What was his problem?
He did not like that you were saying people should not be angry with God, because the story of Job clearly points out that it is okay to be angry with God, because Job was.
Actually, I don't know that Job was. I don't know that Job was. And then God did chide him for it. Mm-hmm. Where were you when I formed the oceans? Where were you when I, you know?
Who do you think you are?
The fact that Job lost it at some point, it's amazing that he was as solid as he was, and God praised him for it and blessed him incredibly. He lost everything, was still thanking God. And at some point, his friends came and kept egging him, and then he started whining. Well, I'd be whining, too, if I was sore from head to toe and whatnot.
You lost everything.
But you weren't talking about just, you know, a random frustration or feeling frustrated. Some of these people, I think, take it too far. They feel like they have the right
to get angry at God. They're mad at God.
And they let him have it.
Why did you let me marry this horrible man? And they're screaming at God, and they're angry. And I think does not get it. Thank God for his mercy and grace. If I was God, I'd kill them all.
Now, in your life, have you had things that if you were like other people, that you would be mad at God over? Yes.
Have you ever had things to be mad at God?
Yes. Has there things that have occurred in your life that if you were like some of these other people, have you been given circumstance where you could have chosen to be angry at God?
I guess. I just tell you, it's so far from my DNA. I don't know why.
But I think people don't get mad
at God. You're mad at God. This God who died on the cross to save your pitiful soul. This God who will overlook your sins and transgressions and your wicked crap that you come up with and struggle with and you're in pain. And he still loves you. Now you're going to turn around and
get mad,
angry at God. I don't know. Listen, I've heard people teach that it's okay for you to be angry at God, and God can take your honesty. And I just, I will honestly say, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't get it. How do you get angry at God? Well, I lost a child. Okay. I know people who lose children. I know people who are pregnant and they lose a child, or a child happens. And they're horrible. I can't imagine
how horrible. They're terrible things that happen.
But to get angry at God, to accuse God, to point a finger at God.
And while he's right, that is recorded in the book of Job, but it's not like God just stands there and goes, okay, go ahead and be mad at me, throw your temper tantrum.
No,
God addresses him.
He did, and he says, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he literally said, where were you?
Yeah.
You think you're so smart. Where were you? You know it all. You don't know what's going on. Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? His whole point being is you don't know what's going on.
You have no idea what the big picture is.
And maybe I've just never had anything so horrible happen to me that maybe I would. Maybe if I lost a child, I would get angry.
But there are people.
I don't know. Maybe.
They get angry with God for less than that.
Yeah, I know. I'll even cut people slack on that. But what shocks me is how people get mad at God if their boyfriend breaks up with them.
Yes.
I was praying that you would change him. I was praying this and you didn't answer my prayers. Sure people get,
I know a lady who she was angry at God because God wouldn't let her have an affair with somebody.
Well, there's some real squirrely thinking from the get-go.
I mean, they're angry, and I'm thinking, I didn't know what it was.
I was trying to minister, help her, you know. I'm just saying, why? God won't give me what I want.
So what do you mean?
I want that guy.
Well, it wasn't until later I found out what she wanted was she wanted to screw somebody else's wife, husband.
No, no, no. You don't get to have that.
But they get mad at God of some of the piddliest stuff. Mad at God. There's a lot of people listening to this show. They get mad at God because their marriage sucks. Mm-hmm. Or they get mad at God because their husband is deployed. Or they get mad at... Mad at God? Seriously? You're mad at God? What kind of privileged life do you think you have that nothing can ever go wrong for you or hard for you?
It's supposed to be hard.
So I don't know. We are not, you know, my darling wife is going through hell, sicker than a dog, to the point of almost death on something that shouldn't have happened, a really bad reaction that shouldn't have happened. And
nobody's going, you know, why?
My life is horribly mixed up and side down and a lot of challenges and, you know. But I don't like it. I'm trusting God. I'm having faith. I'm trying to... But angry at God, me yelling at God. Boy, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I've got my problems. I've got issues. It's a miracle. I haven't gone out there and done stuff that would destroy my life. But I'm just saying I don't understand the angry at God thing.
Do you think
that... I understand sinning. That I get.
Do you understand being sad, upset?
Sad, upset, yeah.
No, it's not what I was going to say.
No, we're just finishing our
thing. No, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you think that people today in their faith have a really poor perspective of the majesty of their creator, that they have just dumbed them down to
that I'm a co-equal, really big,
you know, that
and,
I, yeah, you know,
God
that
is,
I am entitled to, based on how I feel,
guess
just
what,
go off on
it ain't about
God
you.
Almighty.
I think they think more of God like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think so.
Or they get mad at Santa when he didn't bring him a bike.
Right.
I think you're right.
I left the letter out for you. I left cookies and everything. Come on.
How could you do that? I'm not going to believe in you anymore. People get mad. God, I'm not going to believe in you anymore.
That's right.
What a dumb statement. God, I'm not going to believe in you anymore.
I just think a lot of people have really just dumbed that down. And
I just think we're incredibly selfish.
Yeah.
Well, I think so, too.
All I'm saying, look, nobody likes to suffer. But and I'm sure, and again, you know, you know, the analogy of losing a child, so that would probably be the worst for me.
That would be very difficult.
I don't know if I get mad at God. I think I'd probably just die.
Yeah.
I think the sorrow would kill me.
Yeah.
But
not to be angry at God.
Mad at God.
But haven't you, I mean, have you been frustrated?
I don't think they understand. I think people who get mad at God don't understand theology. They don't understand the Bible. They literally think that everything that happens in the world is God doing it or not doing it.
Right.
Maybe.
That's why people say, well, I got to allow, a tornado to hit Joplin. God had nothing to do with it. I mean, everything that happens is God or not God. That's absurd. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand how these things work.
I think
they don't understand free will.
Right.
I think that's right.
That's maybe, I guess, was my point.
Yeah. I think their theology is totally screwed up. These bad things don't come from God.
Maybe you grew up in a time where there was better sound theology being preached from the pulpit. Maybe they were covering this stuff better.
Well, I was growing up and we actually read the Bible.
Which isn't happening today.
People don't read the Bible.
No.
I'm convinced they don't read the Bible.
No.
I bet you most of the people who listen to the show don't really read the Bible.
No.
People read about the Bible.
Correct.
And they hear
listen
people,
to people talk
about
the Bible.
About the Bible.
Yeah. But they don't actually read. If that's you, you're in a bad place.
How many people do
you
see?
If you're listening right now and that's we just described you, you're in a bad place. I know people who've been Christians for years, and I ask them, have you ever actually read one letter in the Bible, one book of the Bible? No, never.
Never?
Well, what do you read? Well, I get this verse over here, and they jump over this verse here, and they get these little concordances, or they get other books that tell them to jump around here and there, but they have no concept of things in context. They've never read or experienced the whole thing. At a minimum, every Christian, like I can understand if you don't want to read the Old Testament. The Old Testament's like pouring salt in your eyes, for heaven's sake.
But
sakes.
Not all of it. I really like the Old Testament.
Oh, I do too, but I'm just saying I can understand pushing that off. But there should not be a Christian on the face of the earth who should not read at least the New Testament.
Right.
Or a minimum, the Gospels. Have you taken the book of John and read it from beginning to end? The book of Luke, read it from beginning to end. If you are a Christian and you've been a Christian for years and you've never done that, shame on you.
Me too.
I have a question.
What?
Don't you think we've made it a little bit too easy for people today within the church to read the Bible for them? You know, I remember a time when I used to go when I was like 15, 16, everybody brought their Bibles to church. Everybody turned to this and that. Now we project it.
Yeah.
We put it up on the
back. But you're still only reading the verses.
But that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't. I understand what you're saying. And there's people who have that argument. I don't have a problem with that. particularly because a lot of people who come and admittedly, by their own admission, they don't know anything about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
To sit there and say, oh, turn your Bible to chapter 26:3, then if you're a visitor, you feel like an idiot.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so, yeah. So I don't have a problem with that. I will project stuff all day long when I'm preaching. But don't tell me you never read it.
Right.
Well, because that would mean they'd have to read it at home on their own time,
right,
in their own way. And most people don't.
We're not talking
a
few people here. I'm telling you, I believe the majority of Christians today have never read a single book of the Bible from beginning to end. Have never read probably the gospel from beginning
to end. No, I don't find it hard to believe.
I mean, I believe it.
Well, that's why people are so screwed up. That's why they get this idea that Jesus is just all warm and fuzzy and Jesus would never ask me to do anything. Well, of course they get mad at God. Well, how could you do it? Because I've been listening to guys like Joel, and Joel's fine, you know, but I mean, there's guys, they're pretty warm and fuzzy.
It's very prosperity oriented.
You know, which is fine. I know guys like that. I got friends who preach like that. It's not mm-hmm. bad per se, but.
And you got to get the whole story.
But you got to get the whole story, you know, and they don't give the whole story. And some of them will even admit that's not their calling to give the whole story. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Joel Osteen. I don't have a problem with my friends who do this. The problem's you. It's not their job to teach a whole, you know, to read the word verse for you. The reason why people don't understand this, if you read the New Testament, if you take the words of Jesus and you just read the Gospel of Matthew from beginning to end and just read it and listen to it, there will be parts of it that will shock the willies out of you. Because Jesus overwhelmingly was not warm and fuzzy. Mm-hmm.
He was not.
He was very much, I mean, there's times I read nothing, man, I wonder if I'm saved.
Me too.
Because
I get
mean,
scared.
It's brutal stuff. But all they ever hear is, well, you know, the woman at the well, and he who's out thin cast the first stone, and that's there. I get that. But you think the moon and the sun rises and falls on your face every day because God's just so thrilled to see you. You think it's all about you. You don't get this.
No.
This is about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first His kingdom. Mm. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Most people get up every day and say, God, okay, here's what I want you to do.
Yep.
Which is okay. You can pray those things. But there's no balance. There's no concept of this stuff. So, anyway.
Well, and you know what the hard stuff has taught me? That this ain't about you. This is about God. This is about other people. This is about what He wants to do in me and who He wants me to be, but it's not about me. So if you're going through hard stuff and you're still stuck on, oh my gosh, this shouldn't be happening to me. Why are you doing this about me? You ain't learning what you need to be learning, folks.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And again, I don't, and like I said, this person got mad and sent me an email to correct me, which is fine, but I just, really, you think it's okay to point a finger at God? I'll tell you what, you suffer what Job suffers? Okay, you can complain.
Right. Right.
Yeah. When it gets that bad, then you can complain.
I mean,
okay.
He lost all his children. He lost everything.
In an instant, in a day.
I would even cut Job that slack. We are talking about people who get angry at God if they lose their job.
Yes.
They get angry at God if they don't get a raise.
Yes.
They get angry at God if their refrigerator breaks down. They get angry at God if their boyfriend breaks up with them. They get angry at God if they think their marriage is horrible. And I think those people who get angry about piddly crap like that don't get it.
Nope.
They don't get it. You are a narcissistic, self-centered snot. When you're getting angry at the God who made you and sacrificed everything for you because you can't get what you want when you want it, you do not understand Christianity.
But it's so much the culture of today, though. Yep. It's me, I want, entitlement. So,
the hard stuff of life has knocked the self out of me, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and we all do this, and these things build character. You know, I think of, at our church here, Bob and Dana with little Adderley.
Yes.
And the suffering they have gone through.
Yes.
I don't think I could bear it. I think I would lose it.
No. Well, she's
I don't think I get angry at God, but I think
had like eight surgeries?
No, nine or ten.
Oh, and I mean, she cries and screams when they're doing this to her. And
they have to expand her skin.
Man, I remember just taking my daughter to the dentist. I thought I was going to lose my heart because she's crying because they're pulling on her teeth. Ah, you evil people. And for them to go through all this, oh my!
And they're not
gosh.
Done. I mean, this goes for years.
Oh yeah,
for them.
They're still. Oh yeah, I cry when I think about what they go through.
Yeah, sure.
It's more than I can bear. Yeah. And but yet, look at them. There's a character in them.
Oh, absolutely.
That you can see. I'm really sensing it in Bob. He's years ahead of his age mm-hmm. in terms of maturity. And the only way you can even begin to get there is to go through the hell that they're going through. These are people who, in the worst of circumstances, are smiling, mm-hmm. are celebrating Christ, mm-hmm. who continue to pray, who are encouraging others
yep.
when they're going through hell themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible talks about the furnace, you know, that
The refining,
the fire. You know? You say, well, perhaps if you had faith, they wouldn't be going, okay, no. Look, I get that, but that's, you know, but you can't beat yourself up for that. I admit it. Apparently, I don't have enough faith for my wife to not have cancer this very second.
Apparently
but Jesus
not.
Said, if you have enough faith, you could say to this mountain, be removed. What's shocking to me is people have a hard time admitting they don't have that much. I can't move a mountain. Have you ever moved a mountain?
No.
If I could move a mountain, I would take some of the ones you guys have in Colorado and bring them here to Green Bay. Because it sucks here. There's nothing but flat.
It is very flat.
If I could, if some of you have that kind of faith, would you please send some mountains over here?
Because we want some mountains.
Because we could, you know, one. Just one good mountain.
Yeah.
For some decent skiing around here. Well, we call mountains around here nothing but
hills.
You know, pimples on the ground. Yeah,
they're not really mountains.
You know? Now, Jesus said, if you have enough, you can move that mountain. I get it.
I don't have enough faith to move a mountain.
I've got some struggles in my life. And there's always that frustration. I think, man, if I just had a... But you can't beat yourself up on that.
No.
And you just work
because
with the
faith. Because what if it's not about that? What if it's not about your faith? It's about what God's trying to do in you.
Yeah, but the Bible says, according to your faith, be done to you. Okay, well, do I have enough faith that she will get better? Do I have enough faith that they'll figure out these chemicals? Do I have enough faith that this treatment will, in fact, rid her for cancer for the rest of her life? I'll aim for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll just trust God where my faith is at. You know, and don't, you know, like Bob and Dana. I mean, they're trusting God, you know, in the middle of these surgeries. And the doctor's saying, this is really going amazingly well. I mean, she was born with a really mm-hmm. complicated birth defect.
Yeah.
And they're saying it's going amazingly well. They haven't seen anything like this. Why? Well, that's their faith.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Instead of sitting around crying, well, how come I don't have enough faith and getting mad at God because she has this problem? They're trusting God where they're at. You know, so trust God where you're at. And don't get mad when you suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. Me, most of all. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm the biggest wuss I know. I hate suffering. I hate being inconvenienced.
And there you have it.
I hate missing lunch on time. I hate it when my butt hurts from sitting around too long. I hate all kinds of things. But I'm not going to get mad at God, and I'm not going to beat myself up because I don't have enough faith. I'm going to trust God where I'm at right now, and I'm whatever faith I can muster to make whatever I can, I'm going to start there and build and grow from there.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. to view a schedule and register for an upcoming event. Visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Now we keep saying that we're okay, but I don't want to settle for good, not great. I miss the way that it felt back then. I want to feel that way again. Been so long that you forget the way I used to kiss your neck.
Remind me
So on fire, so in love. Way back when we couldn't get enough.
Remind me
You're listening to the Mark Unger Show because you can't get enough of my ramblings.
Okay, this email, I'm sorry, boys, in your least favorite category, porn, but here it goes. First of all, this first question is not about that. We recently, our married couple from New Zealand recently got married. A friend of ours told us about your DVD, said he loved it. There are a few questions I'd like to ask. First of all, they want to know where to get the Flag Page book in New Zealand and how do we get codes. Do any of y'all know that?
You can get the codes online. Mm-hmm. We don't have a distributor in New Zealand.
So she wanted to know, would it be in Christian bookshops? We don't have that
thing. I don't think so.
No, okay.
It'd be so, great to do that, though.
Amazon or through our website, then, I guess, is where you get that. Okay, so here's the real question. We have only been married since March of 2011. So what, 6-7 months? Sadly, just over 6 weeks ago, I found out my husband had been renting hard porn right through our whole engaged relationship. It is his second marriage. It is her first marriage, apparently. She said, I felt weird because he doesn't want to have sex with me, but twice now I have worn lingerie and tried to entice him only to get rejected. When we do it, it lasts less than
2 minutes.
And it's all about him. I want this fixed. I have organized counseling with sex addiction counselors, but after watching your DVD, your opinion of counselors isn't very high. 80% failure rate. So she's concerned.
That's of marriage counselors, dear.
Yes, if you're going to regular sex counselor.
Let me clarify. That's not marriage. That's therapy. Marriage therapy. Mm-hmm. Not a big fan of marriage therapy. A lot of these therapeutic things where they encourage people to vomit all over each other. Mm-hmm. Is a disaster, and it doesn't work very well. And by their own admission, their success rates, they don't have success rates. They have nothing but failure rates. 80%?
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
That's pathetic.
But now, when we get to personal problems, they seem to handle that much better. And you got to someone who has a sexual addiction, they need to go see a sexual addiction counselor.
And
absolutely.
If you actually have a sexual addiction counselor, that's great, because often regular counselors don't know how to handle that. So
correct.
That would be very good for you to go. She said she's concerned. They did not live together, but they were having sex premaritally, and it all started out real porno style, she said.
Oh, sweetheart, what were you thinking?
Once they got married, it slowed down to having sex once every 6 weeks on the average. She's tried to tell him that she's not happy with
Check
that.
It out. 6 months into the marriage, having sex once every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't figure it out until she realized the porn problem.
I'm telling you, I make this argument all the time. Guys who get addicted to porn, they think when I get married, it'll change. It doesn't change.
No, she says she cannot turn him on. Only porn can.
Only porn can. It doesn't work
for
them.
She wants to know if there's any hope. Will over time porn become less attractive to him?
It might always be attractive to him.
Did you say less attractive or attractive?
Well, over time, will the porn become less attractive?
No, it might always be very attractive to him, but you don't have to do it.
He's gone 5 months without it, she said, but
there's all kinds of things that are very attractive to me.
Yeah.
I endeavor not to do it. And there's the other thing. Because they're so motivated to do what they're feeling, mm-hmm. they think because they feel it, well, I might as well do it.
No.
We all feel stuff. I feel stuff I wish I wouldn't feel, but you don't give into that stuff. That's death. The whole idea of being tempted is, you know, mm-hmm. blessed is the man who endures temptation, the Bible says. What does that mean? You feel like doing something wrong.
You have to have temptation to endure people.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But apparently 5 months without it hasn't done anything to jack up his libido. She says she's tried everything.
Yeah, but who knows what he's doing.
Well, here's the other thing.
He could still be masturbating. Yeah. These guys, they masturbate. They don't have to have porn. They have porn in their heads.
You know. He's 50 years old, so he's had years of this
going
on. So
she just got married at 50?
Well, she's 24 and he's 50.
Wow.
That's what she says. She's 24 and he's 50. So
sorry for my response there.
At 50, he's probably going to be viewing sex a little bit different than if he was 24, the same as
I'm
you.
I'm 56. I'm still young. That means when you're 50, which is pretty young, he's going to be 75 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand some people, you have an older husband, you know.
But not
I mean,
that many years
that's
older.
That's a huge.
This is 26 years difference.
Wow. Are they going to have kids?
Well, that wasn't part of the question, but.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
He did ask her. She said 2 days ago, he did say, trying to joke, when she was hinting at having sex that night, he said, why can't we just have sex while I watch a porn DVD at the same time?
I slapped him.
Are you kidding me?
She said that he asked. She said it broke her heart. How can he be so insensitive? Or is that the male-female brain difference thing?
No, is that you married a pig.
Yeah, well, and she didn't know. I mean, she didn't know. That's why, girls, you need to ask the question.
Ask the question. Quit screwing these guys.
You need to ask the question. But I don't know if she...
Listen to me. You women, when you screw these guys like this before you marry them, what you're telling them is you have no problem with them being inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. And his previous wife divorced him over porn. So I don't
know. She knew that?
I don't know if she found that out afterwards or if she knew it ahead of time. But that should have been a huge flag to you, darling.
Yeah.
If his wife divorced him after 10 years of marriage because of his porn problem, you probably should have asked some questions.
You know, I can't really help this lady. I can certainly use this letter to warn everybody else. Mm-hmm. You single girls, man, don't go down this path. And you ask these guys, do you look at porn and masturbate? And some might lie to you, but I mean, there's all kinds of signs, you know.
Yeah.
Usually the fact that you'd ask the question would freak them out. They would, because they're not expecting that question. Yeah. I promise you.
No, I don't think that they are expecting that
guys
question.
Do not expect women to be that open and honest with them. Mm-mm. The guys who don't look at it will very commonly say to you, no, I don't. And you can tell. The guys who do, they're
going to stammer and stutter hesitate.
I don't know that we're going to be talking about this. I don't know. Look, I don't know. First of
go
all,
to the sex
what
do
you
do?
What, and what were all your friends saying to you? See, she probably wasn't listening to anybody.
24 and 50.
You got a 50-year-old dude trying to marry you at 24. You mean to tell me your friends weren't saying, mm-hmm. hello, are you crazy?
Yeah.
So you didn't listen to them. You didn't listen to your own brain. You didn't listen to the Bible. Well, you got a mess now.
I bet you she didn't share a thing.
He needs counseling, no question about it.
Yeah.
Go get him but sweetheart, good Lord.
How do you ask that question? Hey, I'm dating a guy, he's 25 years older than me, he looks at porn and masturbates, and you know, I'm thinking about dating him. What do you think? It's a great question, but I guarantee it probably didn't happen.
You're 50 years old. You have a 24-year-old daughter, 24-year-old friend.
Yeah.
24-year-old sister, 24-year-old acquaintance, and she's now dating a 50-year-old. Think about what alarms do not go off in this scenario.
Somebody would have said something. You would.
Somebody
think.
Had to have. She just didn't listen
or
to anybody.
Even the parents.
Yeah, maybe there were no parents involved. Maybe she just went against the advice of everybody else.
See, and I know, and this sounds really mean, and it is mean. I don't mean to be mean, but I can't help it. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who they know going in is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into it and then they just suck the life out of the resources of the church around them, of the Christians around them, the family around them, trying to fix it. That's why
you should have seen the writing on the wall.
That's why when we get some of these emails, I tell the people, you go ahead and marry this guy, you deserve to be locked in a room with him for eternity. That's going to be your hell. You know, maybe she didn't know this going in, but those of you who do, you marry somebody like this going in, you know this?
You know.
Then you deserve to be miserable.
Because you made the wrong decisions.
Telling you, it's almost like...
It's just the consequence of the decision you're making. They want to make dumb decisions but not have any consequences. It doesn't work that way, friends.
It's like somebody in your church who spends way too much money. And you warn them, don't spend this money. Don't buy that thing. Don't spend this money. And they spend the money, and now they're broke, and now they come to you and ask you for money.
Mm-hmm.
I think you ought to let them starve.
I agree.
Like some of these people, they don't listen to their pastor. And what pastor married this couple?
I don't know. Or maybe they go to the justice of the peace.
But then what? They go to the church.
Yeah.
They want Christians to help. They want family and friends to help. And now they suck. Now everybody else has to pay their bills for them.
Yeah, that's
emotionally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sorry, wow. Sweetheart. I got nothing for you.
Okay. This is sort of in the same category, so I pulled it from the bottom of the list since we're on the subject. She says, I want to know if it's all right to marry someone that is 14 years older than you. We have been best friends for the last 8 years, and everything between us is good. We are both Seventh-day Adventist Christians and have strong faith. Does it say anywhere in the Bible about the age difference between couples for marriage? What do you say for this topic?
No, there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about it. 14 years, I don't have a problem. 25, I'd raise my eyeballs. But the main thing, talk to the friends and family around you. Don't ask me.
She said the church would be okay with it. She says some of the family says it's okay. Others say that it's not because of her age. She's 21 and he's 35.
Yeah. Listen to your family. Just listen to your family and friends. Don't ask people like me who don't know you. And asking the question, well, it's 14 years. Well, that's so arbitrary. It's not about that even. No. It says, what about this guy, your situation, your friends and family? If the people around you are saying, oh, this is not good, don't do this, then listen to them. If everybody around you says, this is great, this is fabulous, we all love him, it's going to be a great idea, then marry him. But don't use me or anybody else that doesn't know you to say, well, those people said it's okay, 14 years. That's not the issue. The issue is, what about this guy for you?
Well,
and if you have family and friends that are warning you, break it off.
Here's an odd question in this situation. She says they've been best friends for 8 years. You do the math. That means he was 27 years old and was her best friend since she was 13. That strikes me as sort of strange.
That's a little creepy, too.
That strikes me as very strange.
He's 20-something years old. He's an adult man.
And you're 13.
And he's hanging around with you as one of your best friends.
For 8 years. That seems a little strange to me. Unless it's just a friend of the family, but still, it seems a little odd.
Sounds a little creepy to us.
Why have you waited until you're 21?
Why not
do this at 18?
Listen to your friends and family. That's all I can tell you. Yeah. Listen to your friends and family. Move on.
Yeah. Okay, then. Oh, we're not up against the break yet. Let's see here.
We can take a break.
We can take one.
Can you?
Go ahead. Sure. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
In fact,
we frequently do whatever we want. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
Band of Brothers Radio. Your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Look at all the cars, lots of colored cars. Now there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign, like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me.
Vroom. Vroom, vroom.
But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! And it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I never let my feelings show. I never let anybody know just how much I was so deep in love. But now that you're in my arms, I'm gonna stand on the rooftop, climb up a mountaintop, baby, scream and shout. I'm gonna sing it on the radio, show it on the video, baby, leave no doubt.
We're here to love you out loud. episode on the Mark Gunger Show, and we're just kind of loud in general. Very loud. Three loud people.
Blah.
Very loud.
I'm quiet.
No, you're not. You just pretend.
You have never.
It's all
relic. You have never heard me go off on this microphone in this room compared to the two of you. And I will have the whole chat room saying, yes, he's
right. I'm not
right.
talking about on the microphone. I'm talking
loud.
About in life in general. You're pretty loud,
Ross. I live in a very loud way.
Like my new glasses?
You live out loud. Those
I
are
do.
Wonderful. You have to take me and pick up my new glasses, by the way, Ross. Okay. Here,
I'm charging now,
this,
by the way.
No, you're not. You're doing anything that I want you to do because you're my little slave boy.
I'm not
boy.
Your
Come
puppy,
on.
Honestly.
Yes, you are.
You know, I'm Come monkey, on. Whatever you call it.
Dancing monkey.
Yes. All right. This question is kind of sort of for you, Ross, actually.
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. In the past, Ross.
I'm taking a nap then.
In the past, Ross had mentioned that he was a perfect fun combo. Do you want to explain what that is, Ross?
A perfect fun combination. That's the flag page written by this beautiful man, Larry Bellotta, or creative, whatever you want to call it. And it creates basically the four different areas of perfect fun, country, and peace.
Control.
I don't know. I'm trying to do the whole Mark Unger thing. It's just not happening. It's basically like a picture of your heart, not a personality assessment, but what makes you tick, why you do what you do in life.
Yeah. Imperfect means that things have to be done.
In a very perfect way. It has to be all about, you know, do it this way,
precision,
do it the right way,
details.
How I feel, details, yeah.
And the fun, self-explanatory.
Is, yep. Center
Pretty
of attention.
Much fun. So that's your combination. She says, I think that my father and my sister may be the same combination as they are highly creative perfectionists who love to socialize. My
that
mom
sounds about right.
That, my mom thinks that they may both be bipolar. Seriously. Seriously,
I don't
she
know
says.
Anything about that.
She wants to know.
No. See, that's...
Have you ever heard?
The test is, we laugh about it because it's the only combination that's at war with itself.
Yes.
Because fun doesn't like perfect, perfect doesn't like fun, but they love it at the same time. And at times they feel bipolar,
yes.
You know, this swing. And it's not really a good definition of
no,
bipolar.
Because that's
right.
not really
But they
bipolar.
Feel these swings, and they'll yes. all of a sudden, sometimes when they're being perfect, they'll take a gun out, shoot fun in the head. Sometimes when they're being fun, they'll take a gun out, shoot perfect in the head, because they feel like they can't be both at the same time, but yet they strive for both at the yes. same time. So, yeah, and almost every single person that has that combination will tell you they feel conflicted.
Yes. That's what she wanted to know. Have you ever heard of other perfect funds being accused of this?
Oh, all the time.
The conflict. Yeah, they feel it, and other people.
People accuse
see
them of
that
it,
in
and
them.
They feel it.
Yes,
they're very, mm-hmm. they're very, very aware of it. And if anything, what's nice about this test is that it's a way for them to see that they're not psycho and crazy, and it's okay, and you get more comfortable with it. And you say, okay, you know, this is who I am. And actually, that's true of that test in any combination.
Right.
I found that just for my own life, it helped yeah. me feel more comfortable about who I was. But especially these guys. Because yeah. they, by nature, there's not a person yet, I don't think I've done, all the years I've done this, that I see that combination, and I'll ask them, do you ever feel conflicted?
And
within
they say yes.
seconds, I'm half a second, they don't have to think about it. They instantly
yep.
go, yeah.
I don't feel conflicted by it yeah. anymore.
Not anymore?
Not anymore.
Well, because
no.
you understand it now.
Well, I understood it, but, you know, I just understand a lot of the major things that they say about the perfect fun combination had nothing to do with anybody else. This was all about me, and I've got to settle those issues myself, and once that happened, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you.
Nope. There I love me.
That's beautiful.
As he's crying. Okay, this email is from a husband.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life.
I have gas now after you saying that.
And that's beautiful.
I thought you had gas before
just,
he said that.
Yes,
I'm
loaded.
Beautiful. I'm irritated today. I feel like I'm retaining water.
I'm
irritable
the female
bowel syndrome.
In the room, and Ross is sitting over there talking about being irritated and bloated and retaining water. There's
I
something
am.
Wrong.
I had tacos last
There's
night, and
wrong.
It's messing with my balance.
Oh, please.
The sodium levels are high. My ring won't come off. My ankles are hurt.
Good heavens.
He's so weird.
You just put a dog collar on you. That'll work. You don't need a ring. You just need the dog collar with a long leash. All right.
This is Ross's yeah. song.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I'd go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, yee-haw. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
That was Diane's. Why is it all of a sudden
no,
mine?
No, that's yours.
That
that's
was
yours. No, the Patsy Cline Crazy is my song.
Oh, that's true.
Uh-oh, what did I just do? Oh, there you go. What did I do something wrong?
What did you hit?
Oh, there. Everything disappeared for a second. Oh. I don't know. Now, this is Diane's song.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
You know, the Coming to Take Away was a huge hit, wasn't it?
It was.
What was that, like in the 60s or something?
Was that Dr. Demento? I think it was early 70s because I was a little bit old. I was probably 6 or 7, so that had to put me in the early 70s.
Pretty funny.
Yes. Okay, this gentleman needs an entirely unbiased opinion. He wants to know if he's neglecting...
He's sending to the wrong show.
Yeah, we're pretty biased. He wants to know if he is neglecting his family. It's almost like one of... We could turn this into a marriage ref kind of question.
So, oh, I like those.
Okay. He is self-employed. I'm able to work from home. We homeschool our daughter, and my wife does virtually all of the schooling. We are together a lot because he sort of works from home. She's home. The kids are home. All of that. We travel some doing workshops for their worship team, so they sort of get little mini vacation things out and about doing that. I'm condensing this. They don't get a lot of money, just enough to cover the gas and to be gone. Because
Ross has gas.
Yeah, he does.
I do.
He can send
I
some
can
your way.
I can freely dispense. Mm-hmm. I will.
He says they're in negotiation with the mortgage company because of his home business. They're having some problems, so finances are an issue for them. No, that's all background. So here's the issue. My wife loves, in capital letters, to go on vacation. It has been 5 years since we've been
Who doesn't?
On a family vacation. I love going on vacation, but I don't go very often either.
I love just be a slacker.
He said most all of our vacations are attached to a ministry trip somehow because it's more convenient and usually somewhat paid for. We'll take a day or two at the end of the trip or at the beginning, whatever works out, which is great for me, not for my wife. We have this conversation often. She says that ministry takes precedence over our family. Mm-hmm. So the long story to make short of this, their daughter was having her birthday. The daughter wanted her birthday at the beach. And he found a way to, after they had already planned a separate birthday party trip for the daughter, he ended up finding a way to tie it to a church trip. To save money,
yeah.
Because they're trying to save money to go on a missions trip to Venezuela. And the wife got really mad about it because she's saying that the church comes first. And he says this infuriated her. And he was also worried because people have donated money to go on this missions trip. And if they spent money on a separate vacation, would they people look bad upon that and say, so anyway, he wants to know, am I neglecting my family if we go on a small trip to the beach rather than the separate beach trip? Is he doing wrong, or is the wife expecting too much?
All right, let's go around the horn. Ross, is he right or wrong?
I'm confused on this because there's so many questions in here already.
No. Here's real simple. Let me boil it. The wife wants to get along. Let's just go do a vacation.
Separate vacation.
Yes.
Let's go. But he can't do that.
No, then he's
he
wrong.
He wants
flat
to tie
wrong.
It into ministry because he's either really high financial hurting or he's just a cheap turd.
You're flat
okay?
out wrong.
So he tries to tie it in and doesn't really relax with just his family, doesn't put his family total focus. The family kind of I can squeeze in some family once I do something for Jesus.
And I want to use money that was given for a missions trip to maybe make this happen. Is
yeah.
this okay?
So,
no, that's not
no,
okay
no,
either.
He doesn't want to take the missions trip money. That's why he doesn't want to do a separate vacation. He wants to keep the money for the missions trip.
The fact that you would even entertain using money for a missions trip to pull something off like that.
Yeah, I don't know about the money. None of that made any sense to me. But forget the money.
I'm totally
the money.
In favor I'm of just... the woman. She needs to hear your...
So he's wrong, you're saying?
Absolutely.
Diane, is he right or wrong?
I'm the queen of cheap. I would vote for him and say, if you can save the money and tack a few days on, that would be good enough for me. As a wife,
shame on you.
I'm sorry,
we have
as a
tie.
Wife, that would
we
be
have
good
a
enough
tie.
For me. I'm just saying, I'm the wife and I like alone time.
But wait a minute. But you've never been married to someone in ministry.
No.
Something that can...
So at the end of the day, you always come
second.
Okay. Then I would understand. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying from a strictly pocketbook point of view, the way that I see it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's still, and even then, it's not really a full vacation. It's a couple of days,
right?
Mm-hmm. See, I drag my wife all over the world doing that, but that's not really vacation to her.
Mm-hmm.
It would be to me. I could be like this guy real easy, you know. Just
and
say,
see, that's
oh, sure.
I'm like that guy. So
yeah.
it's
but when
I
your wife is
guy.
Saying, I want some time away from yeah. ministry just for yeah. us,
then
to
I
have
would
vacation.
Say you have to give that to her.
All right, so you're. So he's a turd.
You flip-flopped.
No, I
he's
still...
He's a turd.
You're still the queen
I'm
of cheap.
I'm voting in. I'm the final guy.
Yes, you are.
You're a turd.
Amen.
You're a turd. You get flushed.
Yeah!
You cheap, narcissistic little turd.
Because I would be okay with doing it that way. That's the only reason.
Look,
I understand okay. She's not.
I mean, we do that. Mm-hmm. But still, we need to have a time when we're just away from everything. Yeah. Where she's not getting squeezed. I can squeeze you in as long as, let's see, I got ministry here and here, and I can get you here on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
You know. So, yeah, dude, you're wrong, man. You're just wrong.
Prioritize your family.
Now, well, the thing is, he can still do both. I do both.
Well, I know you do.
I did, and we squeeze in little times so I get other people are paying for it. Hallelujah. We just go to Puerto Rico. Courtesy of the federal government.
Yes.
You know, I'll take all the money they got. They want to give me 2 free days in Puerto Rico. I'm there. They paid for the hotel, the meals. It was a wonderful thing. Okay, so I do that all the time. But that doesn't justify you not meeting the need of your spouse who says, I want a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is just with us, not tying it to anything else. Okay? So you have been swirled. Stop it. You can still do it the other time, but just, you know, don't do that to her. All that really, I mean, if your spouse is whining about, unless they're really a whiner, you're just the fact that they're whining is, it's like, if I'm holding your arm and I'm squeezing it real hard, and producer's like going, ow!
Don't you
And I
go.
Say, well, Pastor Mark, am I squeezing too hard? Well, I don't know. Is she yelling?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, then you're probably squeezing too hard. Well, I don't feel I'm squeezing too hard. Well, it doesn't matter how far you think you're hurting her. If the girl is yelling, ow!
Take me on vacation! Bye,
then
Ryan!
Then stop! Bye, Ryan!
Why do you even have to write in to figure out what the right thing is?
He encouraged
you. Good. I think this all went down already, and I think that he took her.
I think it's all
right. I think that he took her. This was after the fact because he wrote right before they had to do it. I think, if I remember right, when we emailed back and forth, I think that he did take her on a regular vacation.
I love these kind of emails. This is great. We need to come up with some way to give him something so we can get more people. If you've got a fight where you and your spouse are, we love those. Not so crazy. Do you have a boyfriend who masturbates 25 times a day? We've had a million of those. I'm so sick of those. I have a husband who just masturbates his brains out. I don't know why he doesn't want to make love to me. Well, hello. Okay? But you got a good old-fashioned marriage argument over something. We would love to weigh in on it. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Diane for a minute. But you were going to lose anyway because that was the third vote.
It was 2-1. You still had me. I'm just the queen of cheap. I'm very easy to please. I would have no problem doing it.
I disagree. I took you shopping one time and it was the most difficult thing.
See, you have to understand.
Queen of cheap and easy to please.
The only place I go is tied to my job. So for me to go on vacation for a couple days here and there and if it's tied to my job, I'm really happy with that. I'm very easy to please when it comes to that. So maybe this dude should have been married to me because I had gone on your tied to your missions trips and been fine.
No, dude, you don't want to marry her. All right, see you guys. Bye.
Bye, bye, boy.
Have fun storming the castle.